Good morning and welcome to our Tuesday morning chapel. Today we begin with some words from Psalm 91. I ask that you would read those together with me responsively. Just noting one thing in this psalm, there are two images that relate to the animal kingdom that God gives us in Scripture, that of a serpent or a snake and also the lion. And we note that in our psalmody for today as well. So please join me. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. We hear the words of our Lord to his saints through the pen of St. Peter, the first letter, his fifth chapter, beginning with verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Her name was Diana Hansen, 24-year-old young woman who had chosen to make it her life's ambition to work with lions. She was working in a lion sanctuary out in California about a year and a half ago. And while feeding a large 350-pound lion, she accidentally left the cage door open behind her. And as she turned to get more food, this lion came out and pounced on her. They think initially maybe intending to play with her, and within seconds snapped her neck and killed her. She's the most recent to be killed in the United States by a lion. Now, lions are not native to North America today. They think at one point there may have been more of them. We certainly hear of mountain lions. But still, one person per year is killed by a lion in captivity, even those that work with them in zoos and lion sanctuaries. In the day of St. Peter's writing, lions were especially prevalent in the Middle East, North Africa, down along the Nile River basin. Many of them are still found today in that part of the world, although primarily in southeastern Africa. In the years 1932 to 1947, they claim that one pack, or they call it a pride of lions, killed over 2,000 people in South Africa. Isn't that amazing? 2,000 people in that period of time, roughly 15 years. The Holy Spirit oftentimes will very specifically select imagery, pictures for us, to kind of demonstrate something about our spiritual lives, a good shepherd and his sheep and so on. And with many of these, especially the ones that he chooses to use frequently, it's interesting that if you study them and do a deeper look into them, into the aspects of them, how much they really reveal about things in our spiritual lives. And today in our text, he's using this imagery of the lion pursuing its prey. So there are people that study lions and how they hunt. And I'd just like to read off for you seven of the most important features of how lions hunt. And here's what I would ask you today for yourself, just you personally, in your own mind, heart, and conscience. Just think to yourself, how does this imagery that the Holy Spirit is co-opting and taking advantage of, how is he using that to teach you about things in your own spiritual life? First of all, lions are not known for their speed. They can get a quick burst, but they're really not known for being very fast. And so they have to stalk their prey. They have to really study and stalk their prey. Number two, because they don't have a lot of speed, they have to get close to their prey. They figure that for most animals, they have to get within about 30 meters to be able to catch them, or less than that, in order to be confident that they can get on them fast enough in that period of time to overtake them. And I think of that for my own spiritual life too, how the devil loves to find ways to get really, really close to me in my life. Number three, lions hope to kind of lull their prey into a sense of security. That's one of the reasons we often see them on those Animal Planet things or whatever, walking back and forth, kind of lulling their prey into thinking that they're actually a safe distance away. And they claim that with some of those lions, they actually are taking about a half inch closer path every time they do that. But in the eyes and in the vision of the animal they're trying to hunt, there's a sense that they're staying the same distance away. Isn't that interesting? When God talks to Satan in the book of Job, and Satan comes before God, and God says to him, "Where have you been?" And he says, "I have been going back and forth on the earth." Isn't that a picture of the devil just kind of walking back and forth, looking at the herd of believers? And then he'll often sit in low weeds. He'll try to creep in just a little bit. They'll try to give the illusion that they're just resting and that there's really no hostility at all. They claim that in Tanzania that more humans are killed during the rainy season because that's when the grass grows a little bit higher. And it's a little bit easier for the lions to sneak up. The fourth thing that we've noticed about lions and how they hunt their prey is they are extremely patient. Sometimes they will take the better part of a day to just sit there or just walk around in a safe distance from their prey. They claim that some lions will even on purpose fall asleep so that, or at least appear to be sleeping, so that they seem even less dangerous to those who are around them. Another one. They will sit and study and analyze the herd, and they've done this by watching the eyes of lions, that they are watching everyone in the herd to pick out where is a weak one. Where is the one who maybe is a little bit slower, has a bad hind leg or something like that? I think about how even as we heard in our text yesterday that Satan comes after our Lord, the Son of God, He comes after him to tempt him in his moment of weakness when he's in the middle of fasting. Now, if he's got that kind of audacity to go after Christ, what is he looking for in me? What is he looking for in you as far as how he can get after us? Another point that those who study lions will tell you is that they seek to finally isolate their victim. The vast majority of time that there's an attack by a lion, it's one-on-one. It's not usually a group of lions. And the most successful time is usually right before darkness, and when there's plenty of ground cover as well. Now, I think this applies to us too. The more that Satan can get us to drift away from the protection of the herd of the Holy Christian Church, fellow believers, the more vulnerable we will be. Talk to pastors, and they will tell you that the people that oftentimes have fallen into the deepest sins or who have just fallen off the map when it comes to Christianity and worship are ones who gradually got isolated away from the herd. They gradually got taken away from fellow believers in Christ and word and sacrament and regular worship. And the more that starts to happen, the weaker their faith gets, and the more their hind legs are vulnerable, and the more easily they can be attacked. And finally, these who study lions will tell us that they go for the weakest part of their prey, which is usually the hind legs. And they swing their large paws, trying to knock them down, and then jump on them with their jaws and snap their neck. Satan studies you and me. He tries to pick out what is the thing in my life, what is the weakness that I have that makes me the most vulnerable to his attack, that makes me the most vulnerable to not wanting to care about Christ anymore, to not wanting to take a sacrament or hear his word or pray to God or come to worship or whatever. What is the spot on me where I am the most vulnerable in my spiritual life? Now, knowing all of this about our enemy, God in Scripture consistently calls upon us to be poised in this fight. He says to us today, be sober. What does that mean? Don't get drunk? Well, yeah, but more than that, okay? What he means by that is have a serious outlook on this in life. It doesn't mean you can't be happy, but approach your spiritual life with some seriousness, with real zeal about it, because this is a serious battle. Don't become intoxicated with all the garbage that's out there in the world that can lead you away from your Savior. It really is directing us to how we approach life and to be serious about our Savior. He says, be vigilant, watching every possible weak spot, every possible angle. You don't think the security guards at the Mall of America are being vigilant right now, hearing that ISIS has put a mark on the Mall of America as a place to bomb and send terrorists to? God wants us to be vigilant about our spiritual lives and about this gift of faith in our Savior that he's given us. Now, throughout Scripture, God calls upon you and me as believers to respect Satan and respect what he could do to us, at the same time not to be afraid or terrorized by him. And the reason we don't have to be afraid and terrorized is because of the protection that God has given us and where that is to be found. It's to be found in our faith in Christ. He says, stand steadfast in the faith. Think of how simple and small and seemingly insignificant faith in Christ is in this world. And the reason that faith has this power to it is not because of your faith. If yours is like mine, it's going up and down all over the place, quite often very feeble and weak. It's not the faith that makes this fight against the devil so good. It's the object of our faith, Christ, and what he's done for us, paying for our sins on the cross, dressing us in his righteousness, giving us the hope of heaven. This is the faith that St. John says overcomes the world. And when our faith latches onto Christ and holds on to him tightly, the devil suddenly becomes a tiny little newborn kitten. Notice how Jesus, in the temptation we heard about yesterday, so quickly threw off the temptation of Satan with just little phrases from the Bible. Powerful word of God. Isn't that amazing that God himself uses his word to defeat the devil? And he takes that same word and he puts it into your heart and mind, and he puts it in your lap, and he puts it into your worship service and into the ministry of the church, and he says, use it because this is your strength. And finally, surround yourself with others in the herd of the Holy Christian Church, fellow fighters in this fight. Listen, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. It's a great statement by an Anglican theologian by the name of J.R. Lumbee. I'd like to read it to you. He says, "It is a support to brave men to find brave brethren at their side in the conflict, animated by the same spirit, marching forward to the same victory." So may we help each other in this struggle and fight as we look forward to our entrance into our eternal home. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious gift of faith in Christ our Savior. We pray that you would help us always in this fight to retain this faith throughout our lives, that we may someday stand in your presence. Amen.